Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So it has been power hour time for Ty Butler. And so I think by now you are well-versed and you are ready.
Got lucky yesterday.
And Don LaGreca came in. Yeah. And, you know, he had to give it a shot.
As they say, Don LaGreca's not walking through that door to bail you out, Ty.
This is, you got this.
The power hour, 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 hour.
That's pretty strong.
I can't get off how you just kept cutting him off.
Well, because he didn't listen. You have to follow protocol. But the protocol is I let you know when it's time to say it.
So you're supposed to. You don't just get to come in and do your thing. You got to play our system.
Yes. We have a culture here.
Okay. I like it.
All right. And it's, I don't care who you are. You follow the rules. And if you don't like
it, three times.
Go back to Cleveland.
He did it three times.
I did. The third time I did it just to see if he'd get mad.
He's like, come on, man. Like,
well, he kept jumping the gun.
He's like, I'm losing my voice here, brother.
But it still came out really good. All right, so it's your turn to do it now. It's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
That means it's the power hour, 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 hour.
That's all the sport is.
That's really good. That was really good.
I almost thought that was Bart right quick.
Now, did you do five?
I think I did six.
So you're doing,
I like lost count.
Denver and six?
Yeah, I'm doing Denver.
Denver
and six.
We had a caller. Do we have the... We had one call. It sounded like he was going to pass out. Like he was. It was like he sounded like Bart Simpson being strangled by Homer.
Like, I mean, literally, like, I will die for this.
Yeah, I would die for this.
I would die for this.
Exactly. Some coaching news around the NBA, as we have an NBA Finals game one tonight between the Nuggets and the Heat. So the Celtics lose to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. They were down 3-0. They came back to at least force a game seven, but then embarrassed on their home court in game seven. Joe Mazzulla, the young head coach who had taken over for Ime Udoka, who was...
horny.
Yes, he was horny. That's the best way to put it. He was dismissed. He was suspended and then eventually told, you can get a job somewhere else. This is our guy now. There was a lot of concern that whether or not that was the right decision. But Brad Stevens, as expected, confirmed today that Joe Mazzulla will stay as their head coach, that he's their guy going forward. And I had a feeling, I never thought they were going to fire Joe Mazzulla, but you have to feel like after he just signed an extension, I mean, they gave him a contract, and took off the interim label midway through the season, but you got to feel like for Brad Stevens, he has to own this. This was his decision. They're trying to develop a coach too, and that's fine. But another year of what the hell is this guy doing?
You give it a whole year?
Well, I think a year.
I don't know, man. You get to the trade deadline, and we're still like not taking timeouts correctly, and you know, figuring rotations out.
Yeah. If the confusion continues, if you're getting out coached more and more, then they're going to have to rethink it. But he stays for another year at the very least.
You think that the 3-game winning streak helped, or
like, I don't think it would have mattered. I'm telling you,
if they got swept,
I still say Brad Stevens would have stuck with them.
That's his guy.
I firmly believe it. It was his choice. He's got to own it. And would you really want to bring in a fourth coach in 4 years?
He was sitting behind the bench last year. He wasn't like a top assistant for Ime. But you lose Will Hardy.
Yeah, they lost a lot of guys.
They lost so many people.
Remember, the Udoka thing happened in October.
And did you see Udoka took three assistant coaches with him to Houston?
Of course he did. Yeah, those are his guys. And so that's fine. So they're going to rework the bench. They'll bring in an experienced assistant to help him out with timeouts and some of that kind of game management stuff, and that should be helpful. But they bought and they believe in him. So stability at least for now in Boston. We'll see what happens with Jaylen Brown, but right now at least no coaching change there. Nick Nurse, now it's official. The Sixers have made that official. He will be their head coach. We've already known that, but now it's official. So now Nick Nurse, Joel Embiid, James Harden, how that's going to look and where that's going to go from here if James Harden even stays remains to be seen. And then there's the story out of Detroit. Mm. How much is like this becomes a, how much will it take to get you to say yes?
Oh, this is circa Knicks Phil Jackson.
Does feel like
was
it, doesn't
that 2017?
It does.
No, that was
no,
way
no, no,
earlier.
No, no.
That was 2014.
2014.
Yeah, right after the Mike Woodson.
Yes. It's unbelievable to think this, that Monty Williams is now going to coach the Detroit Pistons. And we all have the same reaction. Why the hell would you want to coach the Detroit Pistons? Because they're very young. They got another high draft pick, but they didn't win the lottery. They dropped to fourth, I believe, yeah. Right? Didn't win the lottery, even though they had the worst record. They did get Cade Cunningham 2 years before. He was rookie of the year. He had a good rookie season. But you still got to develop him.
Jaden Ivey.
Jaden Ivey's a good young player. They got to develop him. Like, there's so many young pieces there that it's going to be a minute. And Monty Williams probably was like, I'm good. They call him again. I'm good. So they gave him a 6-year contract, which is from
seven.
Woj has six. I believe it probably can go up to seven.
Okay.
6-year deal worth $78.5 million. The largest coaching contract in NBA history.
So here is your reward for getting embarrassed in a closeout game in the second round of the playoffs where your team was favored to win the championship. It's a nice little six-year contract, richest in NBA history.
Yeah, but it's how desperate they are.
You have to be. I get it. He was just in the finals.
Kevin Ollie was a guy that they were interviewing a minute ago. And Kevin Ollie's again, great guy and had success as a coach at UConn. But that's big difference from Monty Williams, he's been considered. A lot of people have great respect for him as a head coach. His issues are, of course, some player relationship stuff, and obviously
game
management has been an issue for him as well. But he was a former coach of the year. I mean, he's 194 and 115. He's got a terrific record, record in the playoffs.
Look what the Suns were the year before he took over. They were dreadful, and this run kind of started in the bubble where they were 8-0. Then they got Chris Paul, and took off from there. But I mean, a 6-year contract for Monty going to Detroit.
Yeah.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. If you're Monty Williams, imagine going from coaching literally in the finals to the next year, just none of your games are going to matter. Because the Pistons are not going to take any kind of leap next season.
Takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah, but some people, I don't know. That's not something that I guess most great coaches or really good coaches would love.
No, but for him, it's security.
Yeah.
Okay. What else was open at this point? Where's he going?
Toronto.
Really? Like, where's Monty Williams going that you would say, that's a great fit? Right? So Philly went with Nick Nurse. Boston's not making a change. Am I missing anyone else? Udoka went to the Rockets. Yeah. Detroit was an open job. You take the job, right?
Or you could have waited. I mean, you're not going to turn down that amount of money. But if we're just looking from a basketball perspective, you could have waited and see what happened. What's going to happen in Dallas with Jason Kidd? Because that would be a great situation to take over.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, if things go wrong... Are you married to Tom Thibodeau? And I was a big Thibodeau defender, but
yeah,
I could definitely see.
Yeah, this coming season.
It's a big one for him.
They got to continue, obviously, to improve because that job is one that would be coveted. And I think Tibbs got a 5-year, so this is going into his fourth year. So this is a year where you start talking about
extension,
extending him.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you watch for. So you would say he should have just taken a gap year.
The money, no one's turning that down. That's here is the richest contract in NBA history.
Yeah, you're getting a player contract.
Yeah, but I'm just saying from a basketball standpoint of where you're trying to get to as a head coach, going from being in the finals to this.
Trying to build something and then take a lot of these losses on
that
you know you're going to have. And then it's also, it's a hard place to get players to come play. You're not going to be able to do it through free agency. You're going to have to do it through the draft.
Well, Dwayne Casey's now up there as one of the executives.
So yes.
I guess this is his first hire.
Yeah, he stepped down as the coach, moved into a front office role, and that's what he wanted to do. And Dwayne Casey, one of the most respected guys around the league, certainly as well. But the Boston thing is interesting because they don't make any change there, and Nick Nurse in Philadelphia, all things to watch. And I've always said this, again, you look at teams in the East, who's better than you, and you just ask yourself, did they get better or worse? And are you getting better? And so that's the next thing. It's okay. So Philly now, what happens if James Harden leaves? Nick Nurse now comes in. Is Embiid going to be able to play the way Nick Nurse wants to play. Is he going to struggle with it? Is he not going to like it? Like, all that stuff. You know, Nick Nurse was brought in to build a team and build a system around Embiid. So that's to watch. How does that transition go? Boston is, all right, so they're sticking with Mazzulla, but if nothing changes, how do you expect it to get better in Boston?
There's a big decision they have to make with this Jaylen Brown contract.
Yeah, and they've got to know from Jaylen Brown, what do you want? Are they really giving him $295 million?
And then next year, they're going to have to give $305 to Tatum.
Right. Are you really doing that? Or are you having to make a decision on one of them and you tell Brown, we're going to give you we're offering you this much. Would you take it? And if he says, no, I'm going to test free agency. Now we start talking about, will you trade? And you want to do that before the draft this year.
Yeah.
You want to know that before we get to draft night. So that's all the stuff to watch. But from the Knicks' perspective, you can't just sit still. Like, the mentality of, see, there's two things here with the Knicks. The mistake of doing too much, like, you can overreact and make moves that end up costing you, which is what happened in 2014, which is what led to Phil Jackson. Or you can make a mistake of thinking, we're fine, and do nothing.
That would annoy me so much.
And that would also, to me, right, because you're not telling your team, like, we're trying to get better.
Because you can convince yourself that you're getting better internally. Because you can tell yourself, young guys,
we were one play away from getting to a seventh game against Miami. Randall was hurt. Brunson was banged up. You know, we really weren't
IQ
whole.
IQ was hurt and didn't play well,
quickly,
but he's going to get
quickly,
older.
Really, yeah, exactly. Like, we're going to be better just being healthier next year.
No, you can't do
You could
it.
Fool yourself into believing that in a year. Again, the Bucks were out in the first round. Like, you weren't supposed to play Miami in the second round.
No.
Boston wasn't really Boston. Like, the East didn't have that same feel that it had midway through the season when you're like, wow, the East is tough.
Yeah,
Sixers started to fall to pieces like
Cleveland,
they always do.
Who you beat? No one thought you were winning that series in five games.
So that's what I mean. Like, this year, you can't look at it and think, we're fine. You've got to look at what you've got and understand that we need an upgrade.
Can I be honest?
I would hope you'd always be
Everyone
honest.
Not named Jalen Brunson is tradable.
And Josh Hart. You're going to sign him.
You cannot tell me that Josh Hart is untradeable. Well, if you sign him, you can't trade him.
I'm not saying untradeable, but what I'm saying is that guys that – remember we talked about the Heat and the culture and right what you're about and who you are, identity and all that stuff? If you're the Knicks, you look at your roster and you say, who fits what Jalen Brunson is? Because what did we learn about Jalen Brunson?
He loves Josh Hart.
Well, what did we learn about Jalen Brunson, the player?
Oh, he's a dog.
Dog.
He's a dog.
Now, do we need more dogs? Do we want guys like that on our team?
Yes.
Yes. So let's find more guys like Brunson. Josh Hart's one of those guys.
I agree with – look, listen.
So there's a guy. Who
Josh
else is
Hart,
a guy?
Listen, Josh Hart, you know, from the minute the Knicks traded for him, they were significantly better. You look at their record. I don't have it off the top of my head, but they were
– It was one of the best records in the league.
Yeah,
though,
one of
the
best records in basketball. What he brings defensively, and he's not a great shooter, but low-key in crunch time, which is why I was so mad at Brunson for not giving him the ball at the top of the key.
Yeah.
In crunch time, he has a knack for hitting big shots.
Yes.
Everything about Josh – he was a Laker, so everything about Josh Hart you love. You cannot sit here and tell me, despite all of that, this is the one guy that's going to stop you from getting a star.
I didn't say that.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about getting stars.
If I'm creating a list of guys who I'm saying, come hella high water, I'm not trading, it's Jalen Brunson, that's the list. Everyone else can be had. I would love to keep guys, but if this is going to land me a star, pick anyone you want on this roster, not named Jalen Brunson.
Right, fine. I'll accept that. I'm talking about if I'm trying to move forward with what the team is and I don't have a star that's available. There's no – Paul George, you consider that a star?
He's a star, but not
that's probably
one who's
that's
reliable.
Probably the best thing that you might be able to get this offseason. Now, this offseason is going to be interesting. Now, if you read – ESPN.com had this great piece that Bobby Marks did with Tim Bontemps and a couple other people, and it's about the new CBA. Now – for average sports fans, you're not reading this because it's just it's way too much minutia about collective bargaining. But it's essentially it's finance and it's aprons. All right, you reach the thresholds, reach this happens to you. You spend this much, so it's not a hard cap, but it might as well be. It's a way to get teams to deter teams to spend a ridiculous amount of money. So there's going to be teams now that see. I got to pay it that much in tax. We got to get down underneath that apron.
The Warriors are one of those teams.
Yes, which is Bob Myers is not there anymore for that reason. So there's going to be teams that are going to have tough decisions to make about certain players where they're like, I don't know if I want to spend this. We're going to have to cut a little bit of the fat. We could get rid of this guy. And so, you know, one man's trash, another man's treasure. So you're going to see a name that's suddenly on the market, like Hopkins, right? D-Hop becomes available, and all of the NFL is just going nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, this guy is one of the best wide receivers in the game. Is he, though? Like, it's just that we see the brand
name.
And we go crazy, but is he really
a guy that
– so we're going to see something like that. And teams are going to react to it. But I wonder if Paul George will be one of those names. And if he is, on paper, it's a perfect fit for the Knicks.
But you know what's tough? If you're Ballmer, it is difficult to try to open that new arena.
Yes.
And now you're getting rid of your stars.
And you have Kawhi, who probably won't be available
Kawhi
for the home opener.
Kawhi's not playing.
Will Kawhi be available for the home opener of the new arena?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, not dressed tonight.
Kawhi Leonard.
Can you imagine Ballmer opening this new arena?
You've got no Kawhi, no Paul George.
It's load managing Kawhi. I played in the season opener. I'm not dressing tonight. But can you imagine if that
happened? Paul George would actually be a great fit for this team. When he's healthy, he's still one of the best two-way players in the league.
Shot maker, defense,
3-and-D guy,
experience,
but not just a 3-and-D guy. He can play make, like he can do a lot for you. He just never plays.
Got to be healthy.
He never plays.
I have a name that I've asked other people around the league all tell me you're so right. If there was a way that you could move Julius Randle to a team that has a need to get to because the salary floor also went up. It's not 90% now of the cap. So teams like the Houston Rockets, they didn't spend enough money. So you get penalized for it. So instead, you want to get the salary floor. You'll trade for a player with a contract. And he's got only 2 years left. But he's also a guy that can produce. But if you move him somehow, some way, and it helps you get another player that is in that position, the four spot, Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves, I would make that a priority. Yeah. And here's why. He is what Brunson is and what Josh Hart is. That's the dogs I need. He's not a super talented player. Randle is superior to him as a basketball talent. But Naz Reid brings what I need more of in a Knick jersey, and that are tough-minded, tough, competitive players who Tom Thibodeau can coach, just like Spoelstra can coach these guys. Get guys that fit the way this guy coaches. Naz Reid would be that guy.
But now you got to replace the score. I get it, and I agree.
Right. You got to replace the scoring. That's hard
you
to
lose
do.
You lose a 25 a game. Does Zion Williamson interest you?
Let me throw this crazy hypothetical at you.
Because they're not trading Ingram.
No, they're not trading Ingram. He's not trading McCollum. They believe they've got something there.
Yeah.
I know they do. They know they love their coach. Their problem, and you hear CJ's telling the world. I mean, CJ's making it now so public how frustrated they are with Zion. And I've been trying to tell people about this for years, that Zion is not happy there. He says he is, but he really isn't. He's just bored, he's not inspired, and he's unmotivated. They can't do anything, and they don't know how to do it. They coddle him, that doesn't work. They try to get tough on him, that doesn't work. So when do they finally say, enough's enough? We've got, like CJ McCollum is making it clear, we're tired of this act. So I would, if I'm running the Knicks, I've said this before on the show, I've said it to Bart, but you're a basketball guy, so what would you say? If I were the Knicks, I would just for giggles, call David Griffin, and I would just check in. Where are you with Zion? You could get Julius Randle, who played there, he's already been there before, 25-10-4, plays every night, never misses a game. And you put him with Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, you know, that crew, what they've got. Valanciunas, right?
I guess. Jose Alvarado.
Right, Alvarado, right. Like, you got a good core there, and you got a guy who will play. You never have to wonder who's going to be on, who's starting at the four tonight. And if you need a draft pick just so you look like you won the deal. I'll give you one of the protecteds, you know, that I got in my pocket. Do they immediately say no? And if you're the Knicks, is that a terrible risk of
no,
a play?
I don't think it's a terrible risk. Because you
don't Randall for Zion, and then, you know, whatever I got to do just to pretty it up so you look like you won.
No, I think for the Knicks, that is a risk worth taking. Zion, when he's on the floor, he's one of the best basketball players in the world. He's just never on the floor, obviously.
And but why isn't he on the floor?
You're banking, and see, that's the thing. You got to get to the root of it. Is it because of what you just said? Is it the lack of inspiration?
I think he's completely
unhappiness, which right. also doesn't make
bored.
Me. It doesn't make me feel great that
I know
he's that like weak of a professional.
Yes,
where you can get bored in a like it's the NBA, dude.
He's
like
been,
your team is really good.
He has been the biggest, strongest player his whole life. He's never had to really try hard, and once he got to the league, he also saw this is easy. Right?
But I don't love that.
Like, I don't either.
Your explanation doesn't make me feel better about trading.
I didn't say it's better.
But
I'm telling you that I need to put him in a crucible where he's like, it's now all of a sudden the lights are bright and there's a big challenge here and you got tough-minded people around you, Brunson, Hart. Like, I need guys like that around him and they're kind of like, yo, get with us. Like, on his case. And I also think he's talked about how much he loves playing at the guard. It's his favorite place to play. I just think you just, if you dial that up. Does that inspire him to get himself where the first and most important place he needs to get is
in shape?
In shape, right.
Yes.
Where does he need to get? In shape. Why is he injured? Because he's not in shape. This is not a guy who is perpetually injured because he's just one of these guys made of paper. He's injured because he's never in shape. That's why he's injured.
So it's difficult for me to stomach trading for a guy.
Stomach, I see what you did there.
Trading for a guy who just right now you're explaining doesn't want it badly
major
enough.
Major risk.
It's a major risk, but
one
it's,
I'm
I
willing
think it's
to
worth
take.
It. I think it's worth it. For David Griffin, though, if I put him on the trade block, I think there are better offers out there. I think there may be better offers out there.
You think teams would be willing to do the same risk, bring in a guy that is – clearly has a major – like his major injury is a motivator cuff, torn motivator cuff, right? Like that's his problem. It's not anything more than that. And where are you bringing him?
I think there would be teams willing to do it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I got to do something this morning on Get Up that I had fun with. You know, like they give you lists. You want to do a list? They ask you. You got a list? Everything's a list because we love to argue lists. So I said, you know what? Yeah, I'll do a list. So the first thing I did, though, for fun, which is in one segment, was the three funny, memorable moments in NBA history. Like, you know, ones that you're like,
final,
really
NBA Finals
NBA
history.
Finals, that's what I said, NBA Finals history, yeah. Like, they weren't, you know, like, they didn't change. They weren't, like, significant moments, but they're funny, right? So I made three. The first one, Allen Iverson stepping over Ty Lue.
Disrespect.
Game one, 2001 NBA Finals, right? The Lakers hadn't lost in forever. They don't lose. They're a dominable team. And AI hit that step-back corner three, and then Ty Lue falls down, and he just stomps over him. Right? Everybody knows that play. We all laugh about it now. Problem was the Sixers won that game and no other game.
That was the last of their winning that year.
They haven't been back to the finals since. Like, that's
haven't
it.
Been back to the conference finals since then.
But the step over still is one we'll never forget, right? The other one was back in 2018, game one NBA Finals.
51-8-8 for LeBron.
LeBron James is having the game of his life, playing against, of course, the generational, dynastic KD, Steph Curry Warriors. And the game is tied. They're at the free throw line. The free throw's missed. J.R. Smith gets the rebound, puts it back up, and the game is over. They win and steal game one, and instead J.R. Smith dribbles it out because he thinks they have the lead.
Oh, man.
And LeBron has that look of a dad moment where his hands are out and he's going, what the hell are you doing? And it just, like, that's just, we'll never forget that
scene. And
then
after the game, he punches the wall, fractures his hand.
Yeah, yeah, it's a whole thing. The last one is one that we all thought was an iconic moment, but now has changed because we have new information.
Oh.
And now it becomes a funny moment. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because I'm actually watching highlights of him on This Just In.
Oh, they're doing it. They're doing the same thing. Isn't that funny? Yes, the flu game. Well, it was called the flu game. And then we watched The Last Dance. So this is the 97 NBA Finals. It's game five. Michael looked like he was just on his deathbed, just sick. He couldn't stand up straight. He was exhausted. They were putting cold packs on his neck, the whole thing. Still had a huge game, 38 points, whatever he did. And we find out afterwards that it wasn't necessarily the flu. It was bad pizza.
It's not as sexy as
the bad
flu game.
Well, the bad pizza game just has no, doesn't really have the same ring to it, right? But bad pizza game, hangover game, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah,
people
speculated.
We know it wasn't a flu game.
He was out gambling all night.
So those were the three I did just for fun.
Well, we should actually ask Scottie Pippen about it because he can't stop chirping about Jordan lately.
Yeah, things got weird all of a sudden between them.
We should ask him, was he actually sick? Like, what happened?
Flu game? Was it bad pizza?
Scottie will tell you.
Scottie clearly will. There's something happened between Scottie and Michael, and it just now it's become completely scorched earth between them.
Well, the ex-wife's dating Michael's kid.
Yes, that could be it.
So, I mean, I'd be scorched earth too.
You think that? Well, if that were my kid, I would look at you like, I'm not dating. It's my son. What am I supposed to tell him he can't date her? Mad at me for? Anyway, so then they asked me a serious one. Top five NBA Finals moments. So you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, and let the callers who join us at 800-919-3776. So this is from Get Up. I did this list. So the number five, I went with Big Shot Bob. Robert Horry hits 5 3-pointers in game five of the 2005 NBA Finals against the Pistons. He also had a driving dunk, people forget, in that as well, in overtime. He brought them within two. Then he hits his fifth three with 5 seconds to go, and they win it. That's a pivotal game. They go up 3-2. They win the series in seven. Big Shot Bob is a legend when it comes to NBA Finals. We talk about it. And that was the biggest of Big Shot Bob.
Against a Pistons team that was looking to go back-to-back.
Yes, and a very good Pistons team. Then my number four was the MJ, the Michael Jordan shrug. Right? I mean, that's a meme. I mean, that's a gift. That's everything. That's, you know, that's just something we all do. It was game one of the 92 Finals against the Blazers. We talk about how he's not a three-point shooter, but in that game, he was. He made mm-hmm. six threes, and on the sixth three, he had Cliff Robinson guarding him, and he gave him like that, oh, no, you can't stop me. But then he turns, he catches Magic Johnson's eye. Magic Johnson is an announcer for NBC for this game. And he looks at Magic, and he does the shrug like, who's stopping that, right? So the shrug, that's number four. So iconic of a moment, because it's the greatest player on the planet in his greatest moment. Number three, I did that Ray Allen hit that corner three in the 2013 Game 6 NBA Finals when the Heat were down by five with, I believe, 30 seconds to go, and they emptied the arena. All the fans left. Nobody wanted. The ropes were out around the court getting ready for the post-game celebration for the Larry O'Brien. Fans were like, I don't want to watch this. Yeah. I'm leaving.
Heat culture.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The old Heat culture. Well, Heat fans are not Heat culture, let's be honest. So they're all outside. Ray Allen hits the three. They force overtime, win in overtime, win game seven. That's his – what a – Chris Bosh got a finger on that ball. Kawhi Leonard was about to secure that, win the championship for the Spurs. Instead, Bosh tips it away. It goes right to Ray Allen, and the rest is history. So that's three. Number two, this is controversial. You got to see the responses I'm getting about this one. The LeBron chase down block. What, I mean, what a moment that was.
Great moment. That,
think about this. He goes back to Cleveland on a mission to win a championship. But he's doing it at a time where you have the 73-win Golden State Warriors. Are you kidding me? And they're down in the series, and they have to fight back. They get to Game 7. They're at Golden State. We're tied under 2 minutes to go. Iguodala gets the ball off a rebound. He's taking it down the court. He's about to give the Warriors the lead, and LeBron just hovers over him and swats it away in a, just a dramatic block of, I am not giving up on that play. What happens next is Kyrie hits a three. And then, of course, it's Cleveland, this is for you. So that block is just that moment when LeBron sort of like, you know, he won in Miami. Oh, he's winning because he's chasing rings and he had to chase this guy. He had to play with, he had to join forces with Dwayne Wade. So he goes home and he does what many thought would be the impossible. He wins a championship in Cleveland, of all places, right?
52 years.
So think about it. So that is my second most iconic moment in NBA Finals history. The number one, I apologize to no one. It's Here Comes Willis.
Are you kidding me?
I am not. Willis Reed tore his quad. Do you know what that feels like?
Oh, my God.
Torn quad. Couldn't walk. Couldn't move.
That's the
Will Chamberlain. Yes. Will, you got to understand where we were here. Will Chamberlain, Jerry West, the Lakers. The Knicks hadn't won a championship. They get to the finals that year. In game five, Willis rips the quad muscle. Torn, shredded, ripped right apart. He can't walk. They get to game six and Wilt has like 40 rebounds. He went nuts, dominates. It's like, all right, series is over. Lakers are winning, right? No chance can the Knicks win this series now. Series goes back to New York. No one knows if Willis is going to play. He takes a shot. The needle is the size of your forearm. Numbs his leg enough for him to hobble out onto the court. Famous call. Here comes Willis, right? Marv Albert. He plays 20-something minutes, makes his two shots, the only two shots he made in the game. And Clyde Frazier has a game of a lifetime. And the Knicks win against Wilt. One leg against Wilt Chamberlain. And sure will, because he was in extreme pain. In fact, he talked about how afterwards, he said he really didn't enjoy the post-game celebration because he was in so much pain. It hurt so much. But he was willing to do whatever it took to be there for his team. And now every time a player does something like that, comes back from an injury in a championship situation, they call it a Willis Reed moment. How is that not the most iconic
with
moment in NBA Finals history?
With all due respect to the late, great Willis Reed.
Yes.
May God rest his soul. That cannot be at the top of your list.
Why?
Our NBA Finals moments.
Why?
If we're doing a New York-centric, like, finals championship moments, that's absolutely on the list.
Okay.
But I'm struggling. I didn't hear you mention Magic Johnson's iconic Game 6 in the 1980 Finals, filling in for Kareem at center.
Yes, as a rookie.
He goes for 42-15-7 as a rookie.
Absolutely.
One of what?
That should be there.
Let's check. 9 finals appearances.
When you make a list of 5, you have to stop somewhere. And I always say, which, like Donnie said yesterday, LaGreca, what you taking out?
I'm taking out the Willis Reed one over that one. I'm sorry. Magic as a rookie, we're talking about one of the 7 greatest players.
Out of the 5 I named,
NBA history doing that.
Out of the 5 I named, the first one you're taking out is the guy who played on one leg against Wilt Chamberlain.
No, great moment. Great moment.
The guy who played on one leg against Wilt Chamberlain.
It's not a top 5 NBA Finals moment. It's a fantastic moment.
It's one of the most iconic moments in sports
history.
It's not top five. And I don't even think that if MJ has to be on this list, I don't even think that's the MJ moment. I go 98, the Byron Russell shot.
The push-off?
The push-off.
The second of three-peats. I knew I had to have a Michael Jordan moment. I made it that one because that was him at his absolute best. There were others, of course. There was that reverse layup. There was the flu game, which we made fun of. The push-off I thought of as well until I said to myself,
"But that's
I'm
the
setting it up for you saying push-off. I don't know if I want to do
it's
that.
It's the exclamation point.
It was that shot, yes, because for the first time he didn't pass to Paxson or Kerr, he took the shot.
Yeah, it's the exclamation point. So the 2016 finals, I could make a legitimate argument. That's the moment. It's LeBron. It's this, you know, Cleveland. Yeah. This is for you. Yep. It's a big chase down block. Yeah. By the way, J.R. Smith underrated.
Great third
that
quarter.
Great third quarter. Scored 10 straight. But on that play, helped buy time for LeBron to get there because he altered Iggy's shot.
Yeah, Iguodala would have dunked that right?
Iggy would have dunked it. But even if he scores there, Kyrie hit a three.
Yes,
to win the championship.
Tested three.
He got Steph on the switch, hit it right over Steph. And remember, for like the there was a 2-minute stretch in that game when no one could score.
Yes, yes.
And he hits that shot. So okay. I would go with that over LeBron. Again, LeBron's, because it's LeBron and what he means all time, but Kyrie's shot to me is bigger than that. And again, like I said, Magic. I go Magic, Kyrie. Yeah,
Monica McNutt brought up Giannis's 50-point game,
50-piece to clinch a finals.
Big deal. After having a knee that looked like he bent it all kinds of ways,
after going down 0-2 in the series.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one. I told you these lists aren't easy to make, and the thing is that we all have our own.
I can't believe you put Willis Reed. No, I mean I can't believe it. But I can't at the same time.
I see that as an incredible moment that pretty much everybody references.
She's hot.
Everybody
not, you know, Miss America.
References. Why? Because it was grainy, black and white video? Is that why?
We got to go back, 53 years to find the greatest moment in NBA history?
My man was on one leg.
He scored 4 points. Good job scoring 4 points.
One leg.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. 4 points.
Against Wilt Chamberlain.
Max Strus is going to do that in the first quarter tonight. Score 4 points.
Chamberlain.
In the finals.
Think about it.
Good job.
Bam Adebayo plays on one leg and outplays Nikola Jokic. That's not iconic?
Yeah, but it's not more iconic than all the moments
what?
I just gave you.
What, a skyhook? Come on.
Skyhook.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, man, what a show today. We went all over the place.
All over the map. That's the way it's supposed to be. I love it. DeAndre Hopkins. Diana Rossini was on Get Up this morning. I was chatting with her. So we all think, like, okay. So there are teams that are interested. The Giants kind of – it was – the way Dable said it made it seem like they're going to do the due diligence. The Titans going to look into it, right? Mm. Cowboys have kind of said, now we're all set.
How are they all set?
Right? The Bills now don't sound like a destination for him. Rossini made it sound like they're not, you know, that they like what they have. They don't want to bring him in. And there's this kind of prevailing thought that Hopkins is, you know, obviously is a brand name, but the brand might not be as good as the product anymore.
Can't run.
Yeah. Like the feeling is like that he's not what he was. So imagine if this whole thing circles back and he ends up with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's the prevailing thought right now, is that in the end he'll want to win and he'll want to go there and they'll say, okay, but you're coming at a discount because they don't have a ton to spend. But somehow, some way, the Chiefs, once again, the rich will get richer.
You're coming at a discount, and this is not going to be, just to go back to the whole Heat thing, they have a quote-unquote culture there. You're not going to be featured heavily where you have to be our number one guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not getting targets, you're upset. No, we'll sit you. We saw the Lev Bell experience.
Right.
Like they know, and because they have the cachet and the winning pedigree, that if this is not working out, you know, we can cut bait.
If you're the Giants, though, do you just try, or does he
of
say,
course.
I don't want Daniel Jones throwing me a football?
No. Well, he's
like, I'll take less to play with Mahomes than I will take more to play for the Giants.
That should be his mindset. But if you're the Giants, you absolutely have to be all over. He'd be your number one receiver.
This is a lot of fun, Ty. Want to do it again tomorrow?
Let's do it.
All right, my man. See you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.